I'm Joey.
And I'm Olivia, and welcome to our first episode of our podcast, Nothing in My Brain. In today's episode, we will be discussing overthinking.
Okay, so first we should start with the definition of overthinking, which is when you repetitively dwell on the same thought or situation over and over to the point that it disrupts your life.
Yeah, so basically, overthinking is very prevalent in today's society, and it's basically unproductive thoughts and repetitive thoughts. And we overthink everything from our sense of self to our relations to other people, our schools, careers, futures, a lot of things.
Okay, so a type of overthinking is when we ruminate about the past.
Mm-hmm. So rumination about the past is basically persistent negative thoughts. So for example, when you lie awake in the middle of the night and you think back to that time in elementary school when you tripped or something embarrassing that happened to you.
Yeah, so it's sort of like woulda, coulda, shoulda, like if I hadn't tripped, then.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So you're basically thinking about what could have happened in the past. For example, you know, doing tests or something, when you get your test back and you're like, oh, I should have put this answer. For example, if you put B, but the answer was A, and you put A, but then you erased it, you're like, I should have put this answer choice.
And I could have gone like a better grade.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And why do we kind of like overthink or ruminate, dwell on our past? Well, overthinking can be comforting for a lot of people. You know, it's kind of like a coping mechanism, and it gives you the sense of control over your life. Because as you know, life has a lot of uncontrollable factors. It's unpredictable. And so basically to try to gain some sense of comfort, we overthink.
Yeah, like you run it in your mind like a simulation.
Mm-hmm.
Sort of like
it's like a movie. Out,
yeah, like the possible things that could go wrong.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And we also overthink kind of as like a sense, or ruminate kind of as a sense of closure, you know?
Yeah.
Sometimes when you don't have closure, that might be a conversation with your friends or teachers or something like that. When you don't have like enough information, you kind of think about, oh, how am I perceived? How was that event? Or something like that.
Yeah, and how I can do better.
Exactly, like how can I do better? And I think we also ruminate sometimes to defend ourselves. You know, it's, I was kind of saying it's a coping mechanism, but it's also kind of like a defense mechanism as well.
From what?
From like attacks, you know, from the outside. Okay, I don't know exactly how to explain it, but you know how like sometimes when you have like a lot of negative output or something like that, you kind of overthink to process it?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, so that's kind of what I mean by it's used kind of as a defense mechanism in a way as well.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So another topic is, another type of overthinking is when we worry about the future. So this is sort of like when we are uncertain about what might happen to us in a sort of scenario. Mm-hmm. And so we try to think about what could possibly go wrong.
Exactly. And again, that's when we're thinking about the future, worrying about the future. Again, it makes us feel comforted. But again, it really doesn't do anything for our problems. Like there's nothing it does.
Yeah. Okay, so,
okay, overthinking goes hand in hand with anxiety. As I'm sure all of us have experienced anxiety, as it's something very human. And if you haven't experienced anxiety,
you're not human.
Well, then you're lying.
Okay.
So overthinking is a component of anxiety, and it's more like the cognitive aspects because it's all in the brain. Whereas anxiety is more like the physical manifestation of it. You know, you feel the symptoms of anxiety, such as a rapid heartbeat or sweat on your palms.
Yeah. And a subtopic of worrying about the future is catastrophizing, where you
catastrophizing.
The worst case scenario that could happen.
Exactly.
I think it's an example.
So basically catastrophizing, for example, let's just say it's the first day of school and you're thinking about everything that could possibly go wrong. Let's say you forget where all your classes are, or you go to the wrong classroom, as that's something I did before. So, yeah. And the thing about catastrophizing is it's literally like a plague, because it's just this very harmful and negative thought pattern, you know? And catastrophizing has to do with, it's like a cognitive distortion, and you're basically spiraling, thinking of all these bad things that can happen.
Yeah, and like, chances are they'll never happen.
Yeah, so. Chances are they'll never happen.
Yeah, I mean, like, you're not gonna forget all, where all your classes are, and if, mm-hmm. like, if it happens, just like, go ask for help.
Yeah. And so we basically make things out worse than they probably are going to be. And catastrophizing relates to this thing called long-term potentiation, which is basically the synapses or the connections between neurons strengthen with repeated like activity. So basically when you're catastrophizing and you're engaging in this negative thought pattern, and like the more you catastrophize, basically, the more these neural networks are strengthened. So it's kind of addictive in a way, and it's very hard to break the cycle of catastrophizing.
The loop of doom,
I remember. Yes, now. It's the loop of doom.
Okay, so another like thing that is related to catastrophizing is the all or nothing.
Yeah.
So like a possible situation could either be a complete success or a complete failure, and there's like no gray area between it. So mm-hmm. yeah.
Like, for example, would be maybe you're doing a presentation and you're like, either this could go all well, but if I make one single mistake, then it's all horrible. Like, it's all bad.
Yeah.
And about catastrophizing, what happens if it goes the way you think it's going to go? You know what I mean? Because sometimes when you catastrophize, you're kind of manifesting what is going to happen.
Yeah, and so, like, the more you overthink about it, the more likely you are to make mistakes.
Yeah, so it's kind of like the self-fulfilling type of thing. And, for example, I'm going to give a literary example that's pretty famous. If you know Macbeth, he's known for self-fulfilling the witch's prophecies. So because of the prophecy and because he believed in the prophecy, that led him to kill his friend, the king, in order to rise to power. And after that, he constantly worried, and he was constantly paranoid as well.
Yeah, and so, like, a big thing that leads to overthinking is perfectionism.
Yeah, it's perfectionism.
Yeah, so it leads to the all or nothing, it leads to catastrophizing. It's like you want everything to go your way, you want everything to go perfect.
Exactly, but, like, life's not perfect.
Yeah, like, you should expect it to be perfect.
Exactly. And the thing about perfectionism is it's not achieving your goals, like, healthily. It's more setting unrealistic expectations that are probably not going to be, like, achieved.
Yeah.
And then, basically, when you don't meet those expectations, you feel like that's a failure.
Yeah.
And for perfectionists, they take failure, like, really hard, and they take criticism, like, very hard to heart as well, because they think of it as a reflection of themselves.
Yeah, it's like they spend their time, like, holding your breath, like, praying that nothing goes wrong.
Exactly.
Even though it will, eventually.
Exactly. And they don't have, like, a good relationship with failure either. You know, this just, like, leads to very negative self-esteem as well. And it's hard to, like, I don't know about you, but I know some perfectionists, they struggle with deadlines. So basically, they want everything to be perfect, and because of that, they constantly nitpick over things.
Yeah, but if they want everything to be perfect, they would submit it on time.
That's also a good point. And kind of like the perfectionist mindset is when they make a mistake, like, or they get rejected or something fails or something like that, they don't think of, like, oh, what went wrong or what can I do better. Instead, they think of, like, wow.
The world is ending.
No. Kind of like that, but they think of it as a reflection of themselves, you know, like, oh, I'm the terrible one. Like, I am the problem.
Yeah.
So it's a very pessimistic mindset.
Yeah, it's like everything you do is a direct, like, reflection on what kind of person you are.
Exactly.
Even though it could just be, like, a small mistake that you didn't mean to make, so.
Mm-hmm. So it's not healthy growth at all.
Yeah.
It's very unhealthy.
Yeah.
Okay. So, a little more on catastrophic thinking. So, I think the media kind of influences us. Well, not exactly catastrophizing, but overthinking in general. You know, on social media, there's just so much content. And when you're seeing all these people, all these activities and stuff like that, you're constantly comparing yourself to the people on social media. You know, when social media is curated just for you. So it's very unhealthy constantly comparing yourself to other people because you're like, wow, this person has their life so planned out. Why can't I be like them? You know?
Yeah.
And you're kind of like overthinking or nitpicking at yourself, and it's just very unhealthy.
Yeah, so like every single thing you do, it's sort of like you're comparing yourself with them.
Yeah. And I think sometimes this unhealthy thinking style can be influenced by just the people around you. So like family members or friends. I know for some people, or like some people I know, their parents catastrophize. They always think of the worst. For example, their parents will be driving and they're like, oh, what if I, like what if
crash,
gas runs out or we go to the wrong place.
Yeah, and sometimes like it's good, like you make sure that you're always prepared if something goes wrong, but like sometimes it can just be plaguing on your thoughts, like you're obsessed with making sure that like the gas is fine, or like, I don't know, my tires are inflated, so
yeah,
that's, I guess it's safer, but it's not good to be thinking about that all the time.
Mm-hmm. So like as Joey said, it can be like a good thing if you're planning ahead for the future, you know? For example, you know, I think you said this before, when you pack a lot for vacations.
Yeah, like, it's like cultural, you know? Like, your parents, they're like, oh, like, what if we're hungry in the middle of the night and we have to eat? You know, or if you're stranded in, like, the middle of the road.
Yeah.
There's no one around for miles and there's no signal. Like, we're going to die. We don't want to do that.
Exactly.
So, we have to bring food, we have to bring blankets, we have to bring
clothes, flashlights, extra t-shirts.
Extra clothes, so
because you never know what's gonna happen.
Yeah, and that leads to overpacking.
Mm-hmm.
And so then you'll bring like overweight luggage, and that's exactly. In negative
because you have result. To pay extra money.
And we don't want to pay extra money.
Yeah, so sometimes it can be a good thing to plan for the future, but other times it's very bad because it just gets all into your headspace.
Yeah, do you think that leads to OCD?
OCD, compulsion and
obsession. Yeah, like you're obsessed. And you're like,
yeah, I think it does. I think it does have to do with like the obsessive part of OCD, where you obsess over certain thoughts and ideas.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Moving on.
Okay. So for perfectionists, and this has to do with the topic of worrying on the future, they have a very bad relationship with failure. So, basically, they're always striving to be perfect. And of course, life is not perfect, so that's not really possible. And for example, this might be influenced from childhood or something. So when they fail, they probably receive like a negative punishment or something like that. So then they don't want to fail anymore. And they think of it again as a reflection of themselves. So when they grow up, it's harder to do risk-taking activities. And they kind of like dwell on their self, like self-pity. So it's harder for them to learn from their mistakes.
Yeah, so if like they receive like bad punishment when they were children by making mistakes, they grow up to fear making mistakes.
Exactly, which is not a good thing because mistakes are a learning opportunity, as we all
know. You grow because you make mistakes.
Exactly.
Okay, so overanalyzing is when we delve incredibly deep into situations, topics, or scenarios. And sometimes it can lead to profound insights, but most of the time, it makes us keep getting stuck in irrelevant details.
Mm-hmm. Like, so this is basically kind of another reason why we overthink when we overanalyze certain situations, or in some cases, ourselves, which leads to a lot of self-consciousness, as you know. So, you know, teenagers, especially teenagers, are very self-conscious nowadays, whether that be about, like, their body, their grades, like, their futures, stuff like that, you know. And self-consciousness is influenced by peers, as you know, like, peer pressure. When you're seeing everyone else, you kind of want to fit into the in-group, basically. And it's also influenced a lot by social media.
Yes.
As we know, social media is basically like corrupting our brains in a way.
Yeah, and it's funny like how like we say that how many negative effects that like social media has, and that we are still like stuck with using it all the time.
Exactly.
So let's think about that for a second.
I know that, like, for example, when I wake up in the morning, I know that I often pick up
your phone first.
Yeah, my phone first.
Yeah, and I just realized that, like, when I pick up my phone first thing in the morning, it sort of has like starts like a bad
start to your day.
Not good.
Yeah, not good. And most likely when I first open my phone, it'll probably be a social media app as well.
What else would you do? The camera app.
You know, a lot of people do like Gmail and stuff.
Oh.
Yeah.
Business people.
Mm-hmm. And self-consciousness basically stems from insecurity, low self-esteem, and stuff like that. But the thing is that it's just like your thoughts. It's not how other people really perceive you, you know?
How would you know?
So as like everyone's worried about themselves, so it's not like a true reflection of who you are.
Yeah, like you think everyone's like judging you, but they're too busy worrying about other people judging them to judge you.
Like you can see the prettiest woman and she'll still be insecure about her looks.
Okay, so an example of overthinking in social situations is mind reading, where you see someone give you a weird look and you're like, oh, they must think that I am stinky or I look bad today. But that's not necessarily true. Like, you don't know what they're thinking, so like, don't assume.
Exactly. That's basically jumping to conclusions.
Yeah.
You think you know what everyone else thinks of you.
But you don't.
Exactly. So it's kind of like delusional in a way.
Yeah. So like, if you ever like worry about this, just ask them.
Yeah. I think it's better to have a healthy communication.
Yeah.
Instead of like assuming what other people think, you know.
So communicate. Okay.
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 So now I wanted to talk about some of the effects of overthinking and just stress in general on the body. So, okay, basically, as you guys know, there is like a flight or fight response, and this is something that's very primitive, and this is, you know, aroused when there's danger or something like that. And during the fight or flight response, the sympathetic nervous system is activated. So your sympathetic nervous system is, when it's activated, it releases stress hormones such as cortisol. And there's like this model called the general adaptation syndrome. And yes, the general adaptation syndrome. And it's basically that the human body experiences stress in three phases. So there's the first phase is a short-term response. And this is when the sympathetic nervous system is activated and the adrenal gland releases cortisol, the stress hormone. And then following that, there is a high alert long-term response. So basically your body is trying to cope with all the stressors and it's releasing a bunch of stress hormones. So this would be like...
Adrenaline?
Huh?
Adrenaline?
Yeah, like adrenaline. And this would be like a server at like a busy restaurant who has to continually dish out food. So then the last phase is when your body is tired and it's very susceptible to illness.
It's a crash.
Yeah, it's basically like a crash after all of that stress.
Yeah, so basically your body releases drugs. No more drugs, crash.
So basically, that's why prolonged periods of stress make you more vulnerable to disease. And it leads to things like digestive problems, body pain, a higher chance of heart disease, lung disease, cancer, diabetes.
We get it. Okay.
Yeah, so a lot of really bad effects.
Don't ever think about that. You won't get it.
Yeah. It also causes like a weaker immune system because apparently it reduces the number of lymphocytes in your immune system. And additionally, it can lead to like other unhealthy habits.
Grim.
You know how some people have like a lot of stress and they need to find a way to relieve it.
Yeah.
So they go to smoking.
Drugs.
Or drugs. Yes. Yeah. Like she said. And those have even worse effects
but
on the body.
Yeah, but important to note, they're healthy coping mechanisms.
Yes, there are very healthy coping mechanisms for stress, which we'll get into later.
Yeah, okay, so I want to talk about like how overthinking can lead to anxiety.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like if you catastrophize like every single day about like what will happen when you go out, you know, like a car will hit you, like a coconut will fall from a tree and bonk you in the head. That will lead to you like being anxious about going out. And that will lead to agoraphobia, like when you're
scared. I'm not sure. What's agoraphobia?
Like when you're scared to like, I don't know if like a Bo Burnham song, but like, you're scared to go out.
Oh, I think I know what you mean. Like,
yeah, like, yeah, you catastrophize about, like, the possible scenarios will happen when you walk out the door. Mm-hmm. And so just, like, don't.
So, as kind of what she said, I agree. Basically, overthinking, persistent overthinking can lead to a lot of irrational fears, such as agoraphobia.
Yeah, and also, like, social anxiety.
Yeah, social anxiety.
The fear of heights.
Mm-hmm.
Because you overthink about, you might fall to your death.
Yeah,
that won't happen.
And it can also, like, lead to certain anxiety disorders. Like, there's many anxiety disorders, such as, like, general anxiety disorder, seasonal.
Seasonal.
Yeah, there's...
Winter is coming.
Oh, maybe not seasonal.
Winter is coming.
General anxiety
seasonal disorder. Depression.
Oh, wrong one.
Yeah.
There's, like, general anxiety disorder and a bunch of, like, fear disorders as well. Phobias.
Yeah, phobias.
So, I think for those, maybe, perhaps, seek counseling. Like...
Yeah.
That might be solved through that.
Yeah, like exposure therapy.
Yeah,
if you're afraid of heights, go climb a mountain.
Yeah, CBT or cognitive behavioral therapy is a good one if you have, like, anxiety disorders or you're suffering from, like, irrational fears.
Okay, so now we're gonna, like, move on to, like, how you can cope with overthinking.
Yes, so we're gonna talk about how to kind of mitigate overthinking, because, as you know, a healthy mind is very important, and actually, people who live longer have a healthy mind, like a healthy physical body and a healthy mind.
Okay. So, let's go into some unhealthy ways that you should avoid coping with overthinking. So, the first one is, like, when you distract yourself from overthinking by, like, delving into unhealthy habits.
Yes.
Like, doom scrolling on social media.
Mm-hmm, that's a really bad one.
Yeah, that's, like, contributing to a problem, like, social media might be contributing to your anxiety.
Yes.
And you alleviate it by going on social media. Like, that's not good. The doom loop.
Uh-huh. Exactly. And social media, just so you guys know, it's made to be addictive. Like, it's made to give you that dopamine rush, which we'll talk about more in our next episode.
In our next episode? Yeah. Okay, and sometimes, like, we cope with it by, like, reverting back to coping mechanisms, like running, listening to music.
Mm-hmm.
And that's not necessarily good, because then you're not fixing the problem. So I think, like, a solution would be, like, to identify, like, why you're overthinking.
Exactly.
Like, if you're scared that, like, other people are judging you or thinking, like, bad things about you, then, like, identify why you feel that way and try to stop feeling that way.
Yeah, I think, kind of building off what you said, it's a good idea to kind of voice your opinions out loud sometimes. I know it might sound a little weird, but sometimes talking to yourself or just saying stuff out loud makes it feel, like, a little better.
Yeah, it makes it feel more real.
Exactly. So, for example, you can give yourself, like, positive affirmations. For example, like, oh, I can tackle this challenge. I know I have it in me, or something like that.
Okay, so you could challenge your thoughts.
Yes, challenge
like,
your thoughts.
Like, why do I feel this way? Like, how do I stop feeling this way?
Mm-hmm. And kind of to, like, go along with that is thinking in a growth mindset. I know this might not work for everyone, but it's very important to think of things in a positive light. So instead of looking at the glass half empty, you're looking at the glass half full. For example, this would be like during AP testing week, or I know this passed, but I know a lot of people were like, wow, I'm going through so much right now. I'm exhausted. I wish this could just pass. So instead of thinking in that way, you could think of it in a more positive light. Like, this is challenging right now, but this will be really good for my growth and personal development. So, yeah.
Manifesting good vibes.
Yeah, you want to manifest those good vibes and positivity.
Does it work?
Sometimes. I think
personal
it does
experience?
Work. I think it does work for me sometimes. I know positive affirmations sometimes do work.
You know, I said it before, and I'll say it again. Like, sometimes I just want the glass to be totally full. I want it to be half full. I want it to be half empty.
I think
be totally full and not empty.
I think sometimes you kind of need to, like, trick your brain. I want to say be delusional, but...
No, delulu is not the salulu.
Yeah, delulu is not the salulu. So...
So what happens if you aren't able to, like, trick yourself, or you shouldn't trick yourself, but...
Well, then you should practice mindfulness. So what is mindfulness? Well, it's basically, like, being in the present. And it's taking time for yourself. And you can practice mindfulness in, like, a variety of ways, you know. It can be through, like, journaling, which is what a lot of people do. You can, like, journal things you're grateful for. So gratitude is very important. It makes you feel better about, like, what you have and stuff like that. And all the privileges you have in life. And another mindfulness activity could be meditation. I know a lot of people who do meditation, and this can be in the morning or any time of day, really. And you're just settling into your body and like being in the present instead of letting your mind wander.
Yeah, so first be grateful. Like when you're overthinking about stuff, just like see what you do have.
Yes.
And appreciate it, and probably like ground you in the moment.
Exactly. So basically it's like not letting your mind wander.
Yeah, you know, like today I was feeling a little bit irritated and annoyed.
Mm-hmm.
And then when I was like going through like the camera roll.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I saw like this video of me and my family, and mm-hmm. it really like grounded me. I was like, whoa, like.
Yeah, yeah.
I have a family.
So I think she just felt very grateful for what she had.
Like, I shouldn't like overthink like what's happening right now, like mm-hmm. what's happening will pass.
Exactly. Like, although it's challenging right now, it'll eventually be overcome.
So like when everything like challenging is over, you still have your family, you still have your friends, so.
Yes.
That's good.
And another thing you could do is just like do things you like to kind of reduce this stress. And this can be through like baking, exercise.
Yeah, again. But like I said, like that's not like solving the problem. But, like, you'll still like overthink when you're triggered again. So that's not like a permanent solution. So maybe like do not use that as like something you fall back upon. More like a temporary relief.
Yeah, I think it's just for people who like have a lot of pent up stress.
Like,
you know, prolonged
a temporary
periods.
Solution. So it's just like do that for now, and then like
it does like
out.
Reduce the stress in the moment.
Yeah,
but it won't exactly solve like a lot of overthinking.
Yeah, so if you keep getting triggered by something, like maybe
I think it's best to address the actual problem.
Seek a long-term solution.
Yes. So I think again, you have to recognize your harmful thoughts, and you have to realize like, oh, what is making me so uncomfortable? What is making me like so depressed, honestly?
Yeah.
And you have to figure out ways to tackle that problem.
Yeah, and usually like sometimes it's hard because like when you're in the moment,
yeah,
like, you feel like you're stuck in like this corner of your mind where you can't like escape like the doom loop. But honestly, I don't know.
Yeah, and also if needed, you can always ask for help. And this can be through counseling, again, like therapy, or just your friends and family members.
Yeah, and if you don't have anyone to talk to, which is really sad,
then I think it's best to like let those thoughts out through like
writing, write it down, because like it's sort of like you're transferring all the negative thoughts like onto a page, so it like sort of like leaves your mind.
Yeah, I honestly think journaling is like a really therapeutic thing.
Yeah,
I know for me, I don't do this anymore, but in the past, or like during elementary school, I used to write in my diary all the time.
You could write?
Yeah, surprisingly I could write, but I used to journal like everything that happened that day. I went through like 10 diaries. So I actually have like a lot of diaries.
You should like publish it.
Those are some secret thoughts that cannot be disclosed.
Yeah. Okay. And I still do it like right now. Like now, mm-hmm. whenever like something like really bad happens, like I'll just like write everything like down.
Down.
Mm-hmm. And then I'll sort of like put it away, forget about it.
Yeah.
Not but healthy, but
I think it just helps. It just helps to get your thoughts out.
Yeah.
I think another way to kind of help with overthinking is to, I don't know if this works for everyone, but to give yourself a lot of time to overthink. You know, sometimes it's impossible. I mean, it's impossible to stop it completely.
Yeah, like you can't suppress your thoughts. Like that's not good
either. Yeah. I don't think suppressing your thoughts is the right coping.
Yeah. No, that's not good.
It's definitely not right. So you can like set a time in a day, for example, like give yourself 10 minutes to just
you can schedule in your calendar like 10 a.m. to 10 p.m. Yeah. Break
it
down.
Believe it or not, I know it works for some people. So although it sounds a little absurd, you can schedule times to overthink. And during those sessions, you can basically overthink everything. And okay, it doesn't stop the
That's
overthinking
just you,
completely.
Though.
No, I know some people who do this.
You can schedule overthinking time. Because like when I overthink, like once it starts, it's like a spiral. You keep spiraling.
Yes.
Like how can you like hey, like come back later?
Oh no, not like schedule it during the day, but when you are overthinking, give yourself like 10 minutes.
Oh yeah, okay, cool. I thought you like scheduling your
overthinking.
No,
not
time.
Schedule at 10 a.m. overthinking. Write down. That's not what I was saying.
Google calendar, overthinking time.
Exactly. So like when you are overthinking, give yourself 10 minutes to like let those thoughts out. And it's actually shown that people who do this, like later on, they'll not overthink their problems as much. It doesn't go away completely, but they'll find that they don't think about the problem as much.
Yeah, so if you can't like take the time to like spiral, just like give yourself time, and then when the time is up, just like say, get back to work.
Yeah, and again, this just gives you like a sense of control over your mind, essentially.
Yeah, so basically what I do is I write down my thoughts, I said.
So journaling.
Yeah, and then like I actually try to like identify the root of my overthinking.
See, I think that's a really good
way. It's like personal therapy, you know, like I don't need to pay other people, like I said, like you have to save money, you know? So I do my own psychoanalyzing.
Yeah, so she is her own therapist, basically.
Freud who?
Yeah, who needs Freud?
Me. Anyway, so like, yeah. So I write my thoughts down, and then sometimes I draw like a diagram. Like one of my...
Oh, a diagram.
Yeah.
That's very elaborate.
Yeah, like what am I feeling? This. Like what do like they all have in common? Like what could...
Okay, that's what, a
like,
good
what
idea.
What about me could be attributed to these thoughts, you know? Like why am I feeling these thoughts? Okay, but like... identifying like them is one thing, like working on it is another, you know?
Yes, I know what you mean.
Like you might be like, oh, I'm really insecure about this. Like how do you stop being insecure? So you gotta have like make like a conscious effort like every single day to sort of help yourself.
I think that's a really good way to combat overthinking.
Ooh, Miley.
Yeah, I don't think mine is like that elaborate. Like you actually identified everything.
Yeah.
And I do not do that. So
it's called money saver, so.
Yeah. I think what I tend to do is like distract myself.
See, unhealthy.
So it might not exactly be healthy.
I do too.
maybe I should like learn to meditate.
Well, I tried, but
yeah,
thoughts didn't stop.
Yeah, I think that might be the problem for me too. I'd probably like start thinking about stuff during my meditating session. So,
okay, thank you for listening. Don't forget to review our podcast, like it, rate it, and follow us on Instagram.
Yeah.
Or Spotify.
We'll see you next time.
Yeah.
Bye.
Bye.